Yo, yo, how's it going? Geektastic Sypho here with your boy Merc Dave, along with my buddy, I was going to say to my right, but that's just, if you're looking at a screen, Jaws D. Wendo, how are you, good sir?
I'm good. What's up, everybody? Oh,
I have not been enjoying, sorry, I cannot speak, that's how it's kind of shitty, but the amount of RIPs we've been giving this year, but rather pay the respects at the beginning for those who many of which love the Pee Wee Herman as a show. The beloved actor Paul Rubens passed away this week due to cancer at 70. It's a bit of shame. Personally, I was always weirded out by Pee Wee. Like, his laugh actually was not, the kids would be laughing about it. I'd be like, there was something always, I found it like creepy. I think it's also the certain degree, like it's the first dark things, like maybe darker comedy for kids, that is, let's be ruled there, but like,
yeah.
But know so many friends who loved his work, and as well, he's done more than just that. Also Penguin's father in Batman, which I only realized, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
I never realized that as a kid, and I love that movie, but he doesn't look at all like himself in that, I find, like, you know. He also killed it, or stole a little part in, what was that movie with, it was like a superhero movie, Mystery Men. He was like the snot, or like the smelly guy. It was a lot of disgustingness in his thing, but, RIP to him, our condolences to him and his family. And then unfortunately, although one dying of, you know, at least at an older age, going to live his life. Unfortunately, Angus Cloud, actor of Euphoria, passed away at age 25. And that's a very, very big shame. It's early, and it's a little eerie, I find, considering when you think about the body of work he was on, it's also a very, although I think, if I'm not mistaken, he had his own, as we all do, we face inner demons, and he had his own, and, I think his dad passed away.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And it triggered him, which is like the worst. And apparently his dad was like, you know, one of those like strong father-son relations, like almost best friend, or if not best friend. So it's like, that's kind of, you know, it's an unfortunate series of events, and deepest and condolences to his family, which I can't even imagine.
A lot of loss.
Yeah.
That's
like a, I mean, I don't know their family structure, but that could be the entire male side of their nuclear family,
right?
In a moment, right? So, deepest condolences there. Condolences, sorry. I stumbled my word in.
I was hoping to miss the sad part.
it's funny, because I had mentioned, we were talking right before it went on air, like, maybe we should start with this. It's like, it's always
a little
harder to get through, and it's, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know how I feel about it. I'm always of the mind that, if we can start with the sadness and then give people something to enjoy on as we continue. And I don't know how much you guys have talked about Paul Rubin, but
I wanted to talk a little bit more about Paul Rubin. Like, he was always kind of like an oddball kind of guy.
Right.
That's why he collaborated with the director of Batman and Batman Returns so much.
Tim Burton.
I'm blanking on his name.
Burton.
Tim Burton so much. Just like some others, I think from what I heard about Pee Wee Herman, that particular character, I think he auditioned for, I think Paul Rubin auditioned for SNL and it didn't go well.
Right.
And so kind of like, I get back at them, like, you know, I'm actually talented. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
He created Pee Wee Herman and he won a bunch of Emmys for that.
Well,
Emmys for that?
Yep.
Yeah, wow. It was funny because I was just watching something where he talked about the fact that the first appearance of Pee-wee is actually when he did the dating show, because he went to the open call and he was just like, okay, you know what, I've been working on this character, so let me try it out here. And there was like, you know, hundreds of guys there for the show, and they all look like your average regular Joes who are there for, you know, to date a girl and blah, blah, blah. And then he shows up dressed as Pee-wee with a bow tie, like red, weird platform shoes, gray suit, and the hair all slick with the like little poof. And it was just kind of like, okay, we need to put this guy on TV. This is a character. And it goes to show you, he is doing what reality TV auditions are now. where right. people want to be characters to get the attention and end up getting the show. And, you know, it's interesting to see that he like doing something like that so far back. Mm. So kind of crazy.
And just some extra stuff, other stuff he worked on. He was in the movie Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and he had a very, very long
death scene. It is fantastic. His death scene right. at the end where he kicks, where he's like, that shit is fantastic. That is one of the funniest things.
I, again, never made that connection.
Yeah, man.
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie, though.
Dude, it is so funny. I rewatched that maybe last summer with one of my friends, and he's so good in it. He's so silly in it. It's just so good to see him in that role. That was fantastic.
He was also in the movie Blow.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah,
from few years ago. Well, some years ago. Jeez, yeah, that came out in 2001.
I was surprised.
Yeah, you don't even say 20 at that point. You say 2000 and. Like,
yeah. I was like, I wanted to say 20, so at least I could shave off some, you know, I could say 2010 or something, but nope.
That's like when we get also, to show our IDs and they're just like, oh, it's all good. It's just like, but I didn't show you. It's like, yeah, I saw the 19.
Wasn't he also in one of Quentin Tarantino's films? Or no, it's another actor that so happens to look like him a little bit.
Hmm. Yeah. Also, he still kind of kept that foot in the door of Batman. He was in Batman Brave and the Bold. He played Batmite. In the TV show and the video game, and then another thing I have here,
Cobblepot's dad, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
we mentioned that.
Yeah, we mentioned that. Yeah,
and also he was in. I saw here that he was in. What was it called? Gotham. Elijah Van Dahl for 3 episodes.
Yeah, that's true.
So he definitely had his bowels. Maybe I'm not sure. I didn't watch Gotham.
Like. It was only 3 episodes. It wasn't like a long-standing role.
I remember seeing him. I don't remember what the storyline was, though. Yeah. I mean, Gotham's a hard one to remember, guys.
It
was
exactly. No, it's not one to remember. That's
why. Yeah. Betcha.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'll say this: there were moments, not episodes.
Aw, so sad.
Do you deny?
Yeah. No. Not at all. Not at all.
Well, sorry. Minus maybe the. Because how many seasons was it?
5, 6. Yeah. I don't know.
The first season, I
early
the
seasons season. Are solid.
The first like season and a half is very decent. It's very decent. Sorry,
I would say the first. And again, we've said this before, but the original idea of a show that's essentially Law and Order set in Gotham is what they were supposed to do, and then they just listened to the fans too much and ended up pivoting because the
more
fans
NYPD
wanted
blue.
Sure. But it's a procedural, essentially. Yeah. So, you know, it's supposed to be procedural. And then they turn around and they're like, well, people like these serialized villain arcs. So let's give them Oswald Cobblepot's ascension to the throne and Edward E. Nigma's mental illness breakdown. And we're going to have 3 poison IVs and Catwoman is going to eat, like, you know, and you're like, come on.
Be the same age as Batman.
Yeah, Catwoman and Batman and Bruce were like star-crossed Friends. Lovers. Some BS. Like, like, come on. She's a crook. Just let her be a crook. She's not a thief with a heart of gold.
They're the best of besties.
Yeah, my whole thing with Catwoman that they've done recently, I'm like, why are you trying to make Catwoman seem like this kind of, you know, teetering on the line? She's not actually that bad. No, Catwoman back in the day would have killed the motherfucker. Like,
was she a murderer in the early comics?
I don't think she was she's always been a thief, but if you get in her way and you die in the situation, I don't think she feels bad about it.
Oh, she moves you out of her way. I give you that. Right. 100%. Like, she moves without remorse people
yeah, exactly.
out of her way.
But the way
I'll give you that. But
yeah, the way they've written her recently is they've turned her into this thing where it's like, oh, you know, she's kind of misunderstood and she's had a hard life. It's like, yeah, okay.
It's because they have to make you feel bad for her, but at the same time show that she's a bad person. And that's kind of hard. Well, not a bad person, but like on a wrong path that she could come back from. But the thing is, it's like, they don't show the path. Like, it's like, oh, we're not going to show you the fact that she sniffed cocaine. You're just going to see, like, you know, a little bit of the aftermath and then
the
rebound.
Right,
like, you know,
right.
But you don't see, like, I'm not saying like that was a metaphor, obviously.
No, but I get it.
But like,
You don't see the drug use, but you know she's on drugs.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like she's stealing from people. Those are things that belong. It's also because in more recent things, there's always like, I'm stealing this that's in an art display because yada yada stole it from the nation, so I'm gonna take it, as opposed to no, I'm just stealing this person's shit because like they have like no security in their house, they're billionaires, and I'm gonna take this like $10 million watch
and
that he leaves on the mantle. Like
similarly with Poison Ivy. Poison Ivy's being turned into an eco-terrorist, but they keep trying to, like, now that we're living in a world where, you know, things are pretty bad. Actually, things were always pretty bad. We were just ignoring them in the 80s and 90s, but things are really bad. And now her character, people are leaning more like, well, she might not be wrong, guys. Like, she's trying to kill these multi-billionaires who are just spilling oil. And it's just like, that's fair, but she's not fixing the problem at its root. You can't just kill the CEOs. Yeah. Like, that doesn't fix the
issue. I always put
Poison Ivy. It's not Arrow.
Ooh, we'll have to talk about that in a second, speaking
but,
of Arrow.
But I always found that she was a little bit in the category of Freeze, where it's like they have an agenda and they just go about it the wrong way.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, what? Because example, Mr. Freeze's whole goal is not necessarily, well, correction, depending on which version you go to, because historically he's supposed to love his wife, but there are other versions where like he's crazy, this girl's just a woman, and like, you know, it's not his wife. But,
there's a version where she's just a girl that he's like keeps in stasis.
Well, there's basically during the new 52 era, like circa that time, there was one comic book that basically depicted what he did to his mom. Which is like, you know, like he killed his mom at a young age. And he was always fucked up. You're like, what? Like, don't know. It's a great story, but I'm like, this doesn't have to be. This could be another character. Why are you putting on Mr. Freeze?
Right.
And there are iterations throughout time where, like, the girl, when she comes out, it's like, he might know her. She might know him, but not like, it's not marriage. Like, you know, like we dated, or this was a girl he pined over and she didn't know, or whatever.
And that's one of the things that I always find interesting when they're writing these stories, because they realize that they want to make the villains more villainous and some villains more heroic or anti-heroes. So they start to adjust them as they move, because this writer now wants to tell a different version of the story with the character. And that's fine. It's just that there's, you know, there's a Bible for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
But and... I think for Mr. Freeze, the big change was when he was on the animated series, and that's when it made it his wife, and he was more sympathetic, and Bruce wasn't like, oh, I have to take him down. He's like, oh my God, I kind of screwed him a little bit. I want to fix this.
Mm-hmm. I had understood that in the comic book, that was part of his lore too, though. He was a scientist.
But in any comic book, right? It's like they have to develop it over time, right? Like when he first started, I think he was, it's like when you watch the Adam West show. When you watch the Adam West show, there's no mention whatsoever of Mr. Freeze's past. There's Mr. Freeze. You have him in multiple episodes. He's never pining over his wife.
Right.
Like, you know, so like there was for sure a period of time where like he's just a background character. And then it's like, you know what? Let's put some meat to it. What's meat? Why don't we do this? That's a good idea.
I would also say, though, if we're going to use Adam West as an example, those guys were not trying to tell a villain story. They didn't care why the villains were villains. Like, I don't feel like we got a lot of, like, we didn't get a Joker origin story in the 66 Batman series. As much as I think it would be super fucking cool to go back and do a, they should definitely do a comic run of the origin stories of these campy Batman villains from the 60s, because I would read the out of that tomorrow.
Yeah, they had a crossover with what was it called, Man from Uncle, recently, where they were using that genre of Batman and Bat villains, and it was amazing. Sorry, Wendell.
I know that. I remember it was an old like YouTube show called, like, I guess it was like two older like maybe grandparents that were in. That worked in film and stuff back in the day, like, you know, 60s and 70s and stuff. And I think the guy, it was like a man and woman, and the guy, he worked on the original, on that Adam West Batman. Mm. And so they were reviewing the new Dark Knight movies. And I think he said he wasn't a big fan of the Dark Knight, the Nolan stuff, just because in his mind, Batman was always training Robin. And if you look at, and he mentions that, those shows were always Batman training Robin. Like, he's like, okay, Robin, what do you think's going on? And he'll say, this is what it is. And he's like, no, that's not what it is. It's this, actually. So if you look back at those old shows, it was always like the Robin was kind of like the kids watching the show, and then Batman's kind of training them. Right. Like, no, you have to kind of think about it critically. You're not, it's not just what you see, it was what it is. So I thought that was an interesting way to kind of go back and watch those old shows again.
And that was, Robin was introduced specifically because they wanted to connect with kids. Mm-hmm. Like, there was this whole movement in the 60s of adding these younger characters to shows specifically to connect with young people, because everything they made so far, like Dragnet or that, like police show, the original police show was so adult focused. And then you get to shows like Star Trek, where they have Chekhov, you have the Monkees, where they have Mikey. No, Mikey's the TARDIS. Who's the youngest one? Davey. You have Davey, who was like the, like they added these specific heartthrobs. You know, the Partridge Family had like the what's his name? The his daughter was on Arrow. I can't remember. David Cassidy. So you have Cassidy. You have David Cassidy. You have Davey Jones. You have Chekhov, the dude from Star Trek. Like, all these guys. And then you have Burt Ward. All these young guys are added to the show to be the, like, for the young people to focus on. And that changes the way the stories start to be written, because you start to realize, oh, we need this next generation of kids to also want to buy soap. You know, like, how do we sell these products to these kids? Oh, keep putting pretty faces in front of them. William Shatner and Spock are a little old. We need that Chekhov kid sitting in the front.
Need that Chekhov kid.
Hey, man, the reason he got the role is because he looked like Davey from the Monkees, full on. Like, they were full on doing stuff like that. Because then if you look at the stuff right before you start getting color TV, as much as I love that original run of the show, The Avengers, which is that old British show, not the heroes we know, that, like, that show is kind of made for young people, because it's like cool spy, and then you have a girl in a cat suit who's like Emma, I don't remember her name, but like, you have this kind of storytelling that's like, okay, old men, this is you in a derby hat and a with a cane looking cool, and then there's this hot kid
looking cool
and then there's this kitty cat in a cat suit, and she's going to be the cat's meow, and you're like, oh my god, who's writing this stuff? But then that show runs all the way into like the dude, they were doing episodes or like specials into the 70s when it started getting color, and you're like, what the like, how did you guys make these TV shows? So TV is such a weird thing. And Batman as a character, you know, he was originally a detective, and you needed kids to want to be detectives, so you put Robin there. And then eventually,
well, I think Robin I remember goes, wasn't it was it year one, or was it what was the Darwin Cook event?
The Frontier,
New Frontier.
Yeah,
so like, you had Batman was all like dark and gritty,
right?
And he freaked the crap out of a kid, and then he kind of softened his edges, and he got Robin when you see him later on.
But that's like, the whole point, right?
What's up with the kid? I needed to soften my edges a little bit, like when I go save kids, I don't want to freak them out.
But original Batman in the 60s is dark and gritty. He's the knight. He instills fear into villains so that they don't even think. I mean, dude, the Batman, Matt Reeves is the Batman, when they do that intro and everyone is afraid of the dark just because they think Batman might be in the shadows, that's Batman. And you got in the 60s where they did the
running thing in the streets.
Yeah, and then they had
daytime in the streets. That's all I have to say.
And then you had to change even the comic book to make him more like comical, and it's like his costume changed from black to like a light gray and a blue. You gave him a team, the Outlaws, with a whole bunch of kids that he's mentoring now and teenagers, and you're like, ah, boy.
Well, yeah, that's the, what was it? What was the line from the Batman animated series? They're superstitious, cowardly lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Something, but they always get caught.
But one of the things I do love about the Batman, or just iterations of Batman, when we ended up getting Bruce Timm's Batman, we got, I feel, a very good balance of a Batman who is leans into the dark, isn't campy, but is still training a Robin. And I don't ever feel like they'd had to sacrifice Batman's kind of cold and stern demeanor to include a Robin in that story. They found a good balance, which brings us to the trailer. They dropped it, 4K Ultra HD version of Batman Mask of the Phantasm. Dave, I feel like you have something to say because you've said more than once, if I'm not mistaken, on this podcast, that is your favorite Batman story.
It is I think my most favorite animated story, because, like, you know, Dark Knight is a strong movie.
It's right.
Like, you know, yeah. But if I were to argue what would be my favorite stories, those two would be up there.
Because we tried ranking and I said we should include the animated, but you didn't want to, right?
I don't find it's fair. I mean, it could be like,
I don't see why not, but okay.
Well, no, because there's different presentations of real life versus animated, right?
So, sure.
I'm strong of the belief of, like,
yeah. When I was saying to rank, I was ranking which one is better, regardless of all those factors, which has the most enjoyment for you to watch. That was my original thing. That's why I said we should include them, because I know for a fact, if you ask me to rank the Spider-Man movies, I'm putting Into the Spider-Verse above many of the other Spider-Man movies. Yeah, and that's an animated film, but I like that story more than I like the other movies.
But then
Venom, Spider-Man 3, any day I would watch Into the Spider-Verse over that.
But like, for example, but then it becomes like, where do you stop? Like, as an example, like Under the Red Hood, I'd watch over a lot of the other Batman movies.
I think the way I would kind of rank them is, I would say theatrical release.
Oh,
and then this
came out in theaters.
I remember this came out.
This would be the only Batman that came out in theaters, unless you're going to include like Lego one, yeah. Batman. And I'm
Wouldn't
not.
You
I'm,
include Killing Joke?
Oh yeah, Lego would count. Lego
did
Batman would
the
count.
Killing Joke go to theater?
It did. No, I saw it in theaters.
So. Oh, I did not know that.
Theaters. Yeah,
that's why
I saw that movie in theaters.
Well, I mean, then yes, but then that would be also really ranked low, so it's not really that would make a blemish.
Sure, but yeah, Lego Batman. I would still count Lego Batman. It just ends up being low on the list.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. But in regards to the Mask of the Phantasm, awesome for anyone who prefers, or we all like HD and whatnot. But for some things, I prefer it staying how it was. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's certain things that there's a style that, like,
oh, interesting.
Like, on DVD, it's as close as you're going to get how you got it on VHS. And, like, that's how you,
right.
Like, you know, like, there's some.
You like the grain.
Well, yeah. And I find some movies, yeah. Like, example, like, I watched Pulp Fiction recently. Pulp Fiction is one of my favorite Quentin Tarantino films and whatnot. But, like, watching it, like, on, let's say, a VHS, even compared to a DVD, there's like a feel to it, right? Like, yeah, I once got to go to the
it's like vinyl, like,
you're, yeah, it's like I went once to the I think it's the Dollar Cinema downtown, because they were airing it, and they were airing on like the old original reel type thing. So, and like, you know, that's like one place where it's like, it's not even like it's not how theaters are today, right? It's like a few chairs back to back or whatever. It was like all old school feel, like when you're watching, like it gives it texture that some movies it's better to have that. Like movies today, like example, like Wreck-It Ralph was always 3D. It was always high def, yeah. Right? Like, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. I can't think of like a good Iron.
No,
Not even Iron Giant, because Iron Giant is also one I feel like is better.
No, but I feel like what you're saying, like, you know, if you have a Pixar movie, the Pixar movies are made in, you know, animated in 3D worlds, you know, the later ones really well rendered, everything smooth, you know, later ones you get more texture, but everything still looks really crisp. But the Batman, the original Batman done in like late 90s, you're not going to have that crispness to it, because it was animated and they weren't using computers to clean everything up, you know?
Well, I would say it's a little bit different, only because this is an actual movie, so they kind of have a higher budget. So, like, if you look at,
wait, sorry, but you're saying this is an actual movie in comparison to what? Because we're talking about the Batman, and we're talking about Pixar.
This is an actual like theatrical movie compared to the TV show. So, for example,
okay,
if you look at Disney's Aladdin, so that was animated very nice. The aspect ratio, and they're expecting it to be shown on a big screen and everything. And then the sequel, which was Return of Jafar.
Yeah.
That had a way smaller budget. The animation wasn't done super well. Yeah. And it's definitely felt, because then you go into the TV show. So it's the same kind of animation style in the TV show. So the animation is kind of a little bit less. The details are a little bit less. The scope isn't as great.
Like I was saying,
you're not seeing a lot of 3D animation that they're using for the Cave of Wonders guy and all that kind of stuff. So it's toned back a lot. So with this, you actually come at it with an actual movie. And like even though they do clean it up, I do think like they're taking the time to clean it up and really focus on what's there. Because I think sometimes what you might get is like when they do like a full screen cut and they just chop off the sides and everything like that.
Are you saying that with regards to that, because of that, this is better in 4K, or the like 4K is better for this type of movie because it was already meant to look crisp and clean?
I think there's a potential for it to look a lot better in the sense of this is more about film preservation and to make sure that we still have this thing. And, you know, our TVs are going to get bigger and better and more resolution and everything like that.
Sure.
And, you know, whatever you're originally watching it on, you're going to see all the horrible, horrible details.
Well, it's funny.
Like, so if it wasn't, so like, so you have that VHS that you had so long, you plug it into your HDTV and you really stretch the crap out of that VHS. You watch it so much, it's really running thin and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see all those little pips and pops and stuff on your 4K on your, you know,
and it's really funny that you say that, because I was going to say, Dave, you know, it's funny you make that argument, but when I was lucky enough to speak with Spike Lee, that was one of the things he said. Like when I said, oh, I still have the VHS for like Hollywood Shuffle, and I like to watch stuff, some stuff on VHS. It has that certain feel to it. And Spike was leaned back and it was just like, no, I need you to watch She's Gotta Have It in 4K. And it was just like, okay, I mean, sure. I'm not going to argue with Spike Lee on what he wants me. But yeah, I think Wendell is similar to what Spike was saying. It's that film preservation angle where you want things to be kept in the most recent format because you want that to continue. And and you want people to still want to buy it. You want people to still want to have copies of it. And you still want people to see that story. And especially in this world where we're seeing that they're taking things off of streaming platforms, we're lucky, thankfully, that we can still have Batman, Mask of the Phantasm, which I didn't think mattered as much to Warner Brothers, in my opinion, based on the way they act with some of this stuff, that they would still be like, yo, let's make a 4K version of this particular movie.
You know, it'd be funny if this is somehow because of what Matt Reeves wants to do with his future and like a reminder to everybody.
I mean, not that'd wrong,
be, that, that would be a deep fake if they were doing that. If they were doing that, I'd be like, I'm impressed.
And that show is still moving forward, right? Like we had heard some rumblings about things being canceled and not happening, but that show, the
it's still moving.
And also, just to let you know, this is a really good origin story of Batman.
It's amazing. It's one of my preferred versions because you see it through a different you always see through the lens of what happens, not what he does.
Yeah.
And this is a lot of what he does.
And I think something else I like about it is that you see him fighting with becoming Batman. Like, it's not like, oh, it's a resolute and I'm just going to go do it. He's like, no, I'm conflicted because I found somebody. I'm literally about to move on from my grief because I found somebody.
I could actually be begging happy
with his dead parents to guys, I can't. I know I made a vow to you to avenge you to make sure this never happens again, and I don't think I could do it. And then he actually starts saying stuff. I could just give more money to the cities, more money to the police, just let them deal with it.
Yeah,
and it's like
the Mask of the Phantasm is the most insane sliding door story that we never got for Bruce Wayne, because it very much is what would Gotham be if Bruce fell in love and actually took care of the city as a philanthropist, as opposed to a broken child who runs on rooftops beating the crap out of street thugs.
What's cool about it, though, is that I perceive to have noticed, at least in Christopher Nolan's Batman Begins, I found that there were moments in that movie that was mimicking certain moments from Mask of the Phantasm. I can't speak today. Specifically of when he's going out and about, like not in a cape because he hasn't made the cape yet.
Yeah.
So you have like a few scenes where he does that, and like I'm like, when I was watching the Nolan movie, I'm like, man, like I mean, this looks
I think it's that, like, and year one. I think year one, he has no cape as well. But yeah. I would also chime in as well to say, in The Dark Knight, there's a part where he's like, if she chose me, Ralphard,
oh yes, yes,
I'm done with Batman, moving on.
It's true. Double down. Good catch, Wendell. Thank you, sir.
That was so great too.
That was because... like a layup and a dunk. I didn't know what was happening.
I do feel like maybe Batman Begins is more year one, but then he does pull stuff from Mask of the Phantasm. He's just like, what if Bruce said, you know what, I finally got my girl. I finally got her.
It's almost like you're saying the animated stuff can be a source for wonderful stories, a resource when you make the live action. Guys, you're saying some crazy right now.
Let's be honest here. Like, we've always made the argument that, like, X-Men movies were easy. You had the animated show. You should have done no different.
Yeah.
No different. So, like, we're not even going to go on that tangent. But yes,
it was
like, I really do think that, you know what, that character and that concept gets forgotten a lot, and I'm happy that they brought them back, because the only other clear reference that I've ever seen, I've seen one time in a comic book a reference of her, of the Phantasm, I think one time in a comic book, and it was like alternate universe, whatever, future something, like, it wasn't like a present day thing. And the only other time that I've ever seen her in anything was the last episode of Justice League Unlimited, season League one Unlimited. Or is it one or two, season one or two, or the last one?
I could have been season two, because I know it was like the last episode Bruce Timm was working on. So they did an epilogue.
Yeah, exactly. And in that epilogue, which is technically, it's the last episode of whatever season it's on, but it's also the last episode of Batman Beyond, in that you see her involvement, I believe.
Yeah, so she was supposed to kill Terry McGinnis's dad,
right?
To kind of,
but she didn't
move on Terry to become Batman, but she can't do it because she's basically an assassin. What they're basically saying is, like, she's
hired
kind of an assassin. She leaves Gotham and maybe the rest of her life she's just an assassin. You see her, like, she takes off the helmet, she goes see Amanda Waller, she's like, I can't do it, and, like, she's older.
If only
Andrea Beaumont, that's the name of the character.
Hey man, it's all there, just do this. Just you're supposedly starting from scratch. Well, now we hear Wonder Woman 3, Gal Gadot's out here bragging about how they're gonna make her Wonder Woman 3 in a new anyways. But yeah.
But just to wrap up, I remember back in the day, Roger Ebert did like a kind of semi-review of, like, hey, let's see the two Batman movies that are kind of out around the same time around the same time it came out. And so he did Batman Mask of the Phantasm and Batman Forever? Or was it Batman? No, I think it was Batman Forever. Because I think when Batman and Robin came out, then Batman Sub-Zero came out. But anywho, I think he liked Batman Mask of the Phantasm more because he felt Gotham was darker. He felt it was, like, darker, and he felt like it kept that actual tone of what he felt Batman should be. And he felt Batman Forever was just more colorful, and just like, dude, this is a bit weird. It's not, like, it's supposed to be a dark, the name Gotham, it's supposed to be more gothic.
That's Joel Schumacher at that point, right?
Yeah.
Joel Schumacher, don't get me started on him.
Well, can't, you know, I think a lot of people are going back and looking back at why they hired Joel Schumacher, and the whole point was because McDonald's was like, we can't market Batman Returns. You this penguin guy's biting people on the nose. He just got killed. He's bleeding green blood. What is this movie?
Fantastic.
You can't market this to kids.
Sell that what were you thinking?
Yeah. Sell that to children. I find it funny that we say we can't sell this to children, but we sell everything else to children.
Yeah. But everything. Like, there was a big backlash.
Oh, I know. I know. So
that's
why
they pivoted that hard.
You're pivoting in an era where, you know, what was the gross... not Cabbage Patch, but the Something Pale Kids, where it's like
Garbage Pail.
Yeah, like puke cards and like these things were being marketed, and it's like they were making money.
You're not getting that at Sears. You're not getting that at McDonald's, a part of your Happy Meal where it's the family friendly.
We sold creepy crawlers to kids, and it was an actual like decent cartoon that had nothing to do with creepy crawlers. Like they only included the creepy crawler thing.
It's just funny to me that McDonald's, and it's fine. McDonald's stood where it stood. But to make a studio pivot so hard when your franchise was working as is, to me just seems like a bad decision, because it was a bad decision. The movies didn't do as well, and they fucked up the franchise for a minute. So,
the Batman Forever actually did really well, and then kept going.
We're not talking about money. We're talking about how people remember the franchise and what it did to Batman as a character. You're pivoting the character to a point where people don't respect the movie. That's not a good scene.
I remember people are doing a lot of videos about it on YouTube and stuff.
Right.
And like you're seeing like, oh, I brought my kids to get the Happy Meal and it's Batman Returns. And then I saw it, and then some people are like, we went to go see the movie just to see if our kids could see it. And we're like, nah. And our kids are like, we're not taking our 6-year-old to see this sexy Michelle Pfeiffer and weirdo Danny DeVito biting some dude's nose off. Parents throwing away their kids in the toilet.
Hey, the Bible has stories of kids being thrown into water down the lake. Hey, we have that stuff all over the place.
This is more so like
you have Deadpool, 80s
and early 90s, sure. And people were, and you know, you had the whole
I get it, Jaws.
Panic. No, but I'm just
going. You're really just.
Dude, no, I know. I'm just saying what happened and why they pivoted.
That's what I'm saying. We're all there. We all saw.
I'm trying to remember if I saw that movie in the theater, and I didn't. I saw Batman. My dad gave me a bootleg VHS, and that's how I saw Batman.
You probably
didn't see it in the theater.
With Forever? You're talking about a return.
I'm talking about the first one.
Nobody saw that.
I saw it in the theater.
I didn't see it in the theater.
It was 1989. Dave, you saw it in the theater?
It was 89.
I was freaked out in the theater. I was starting pre-K or something.
The only movie I saw in the theater was 89 was TMNT.
Exactly. That's what I saw in the theater.
That was the first movie.
None of us saw Batman in theater. Like, Dave, you saw Batman.
My cousin had the VHS.
No, I saw Batman in theater.
You saw when it originally came out? You're in 89.
Because I remember because I
how
also
old are you though?
Now I'm 39.
Damn,
so okay, so you were 5.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you actually saw a movie at 5?
I remember the movie very well. I remember the whole experience to the point that I also remember having a freak out moment when the there was the scene where they're in the exhibit there, right? Mm-hmm. And like he's freaking out, and that's where he like ends up putting water on his face and like goes like this, and it's like he's taking off the paint and stuff. So like I'm 5, right? Like I'm not picking up on this as quickly as everyone else is.
Why did someone take a 5-year-old?
Well, no, it's because I love Batman. Whoa.
That's like taking your 5-year-old to Watchmen.
I went with my dad and I went with my uncle.
What?
And I went when I was in the theater. I was good the whole time. I loved Batman. I was good the whole time. The only thing is I think thinking back on it and trying to piece it together, the contrast from like dark to light was probably just a really big shocker for me, because
what was your exposure to Batman prior to this movie? With like the 60s cartoon show?
My dad, comic books, the show.
Damn,
it has to be Adam West,
because the
cartoon didn't come out yet.
Obviously, but
but it wasn't on regular syndication at the point when we were 5. That only popped up when we were 8 on YTV.
Like in the 90s, yeah.
Well, no, that was where it was on YTV, but there was other ways to watch it.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There were some channels that had it on a weekly basis.
No, but I think if anything, the what Skitty's probably trying to point out more is just the idea that like we definitely did not see Batman in theaters.
Yeah,
I don't think most people would take their kids to see Batman.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was supposed to three things real early.
It's another reason why I don't understand why McDonald's was the partner for Batman. If I'm being honest,
so I think.
Let's partner up with people for Happy Meals for a movie we don't want kids to see.
But I think, no. So the thing is that Batman came out. I don't think they expected it to like blow up the way it did. So not just the movie, but the merchandise, just the money they made off of all the merchandising. So then when they were doing the sequel, they're like, let's do it big. Let's do it real big. Let's do it real big. Right. We got McDonald's on it. We got toys. We got this little rubber ducky with the penguin.
Electrocuted in these movies.
Think about this. You know, the lineup of those toys from McDonald's, the penguin toy. Look at what penguin they used. They didn't use Danny
DeVito. I know. Penguin. For a reason. No, they did that for a reason. They used Batman Returns Penguin is a re-release of the Super Friends Penguin from 60 something repainted because they were like, we are not making a toy of this. No.
Yeah. So hideous.
So when the director was making the movie, they're like, oh, yeah, you can do what you want. But they didn't realize he was just going to do his own thing. It's the guy that did Pee-wee's Big Time and all that stuff. So he's gonna keep it going like that. And it's like, nah, I'm gonna go weirder. I'm gonna go goth. I'm gonna go all in.
Like, you remember when Ant-Man was supposed to be good? That's what would happen if they actually let him do that. No, hey, come on. You know,
are you talking about Edgar?
Yeah, Edgar's first right? one when it was supposed to be like all like hardcore Ant-Man. You're like, what? No,
yeah,
no
way. Yeah,
that would have been Scott Lang. Speaking of things that we shouldn't be bringing our kids to see, quick little rant. Please, children, white people, and or black people, stop bringing your six-year-olds to see 50 Cent, please.
Who brought children to see
Mad 50 people? Cent? For the reason as to why I am not A, there, B, on a guest list to be there. Because of mad executives and suburban-ass people that I know being like, yeah, me and my 10-year-old at 50 Cent. How many times is this guy saying nigga in a song? What are we doing?
Yo.
I'm That's not the there rapping no, along to Busta Rhymes. About this
pimping at the, but you the got, magic stick.
You got. I'm not there, yeah, my homie, rapping to Busta and Candy Shop and what up gangsta and talk about G Unit. We in here.
I got
Susie's out there.
We got to remind people that just because you know, our parents didn't do shit like this with
our
us.
Our parents were not taking us to Color Me Bad.
But that's it. Our parents didn't take us to anything. You know, like, you got a babysitter.
Yeah. And then you went.
And then you went damn self,
or your girlfriend or somebody you were friends with at the time.
And I think I think one of the things that unfortunately happened is people started getting so panicked in the world about
creepy ass, like, babysitters.
Yeah. And like weird stories. And also, I think people generally want to introduce their kids to things that they find interesting.
Except for not 50 Cent.
Right. Like, Dave, we actually had this conversation at Comic-Con because we talked about, like, as fans of Comic-Con, would you bring a child under 5 to Comic-Con? Because we saw people with strollers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, as much as I would love to instill an interest of this stuff into Comic-Con into my child, I don't want to bring a child to Comic-Con for the day. But I will say, and Dave, I said this to you too, my buddy Sean, shout out to Sean, him and his partner Planet Smart, they bring the kid on one day, but they have a plan for, like, there's 3 days. I'm going to go on this day so I can just enjoy it this day. You want to do a picture with Christina and we're going to bring the kid. We'll do this and set that up that day. This is the day we bring the kid. We're going to come early. We're going to go see the stuff. We do the picture. We bounce out after the picture. And if Sean wants to go on the last day again, he can, because that's at his discretion. If he doesn't, partner's all good with that, because she only wanted to go the one day for her picture and they brought the kid that day, the two of them with the kid. Fun adventure, fun day. The kid got to see everything. This thing of pushing strollers around and, dude, it seems, and I'm not saying don't bring your kids if you want to bring your kids, but it seems like a lot of hard work, and it's not something I would want
to
do.
The stroller is to keep weirdo open mouth coughers the fuck away from you.
Oh, fact.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You see, because your width of space goes from this to back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, so your kid's the first line of defense.
Yeah, man.
The shield. Right on the kid.
Why do you know?
Let me clear my
throat. That's why he puts the little see-through thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you put shield. The roof over. And then you don't feel no type of way of like mixing someone's ankles if they're walking too slow because you got the sorry story. Move.
Go on, Dave. Sorry.
No, so I was gonna say, I think the more choresome would be the 3 to 5 range, because if you have a runner in Comic-Con, like, that is like, that's
not in shape,
horrible, dude.
No, well, you just don't let them off.
That's a leash.
That, or you give one of those leash things, and that I'm gonna say this, like, I
dish leash I've demeans seen... me you and demeans us both.
Exactly.
Demean me all both. You want. I am not letting my kid run all over a convention hall.
And I agree with that. Like, I'm not saying I understand why there's the leash concept. I'm not saying I don't know. I'm not a parent. I haven't been one yet. But I don't know if I would ever do that. But like, I've had talked to one or two parents.
I don't have kids.
I have talked to one or two people who have kids, and literally one of my, I don't want to say whom or whatever there, but like, I know someone who has two kids. She's like, this kid never was a problem. Like, stayed close, whatever. This one, they had to go to Edmonton, and like, because what her the older kid was having like a hockey tournament, so they were going to Edmonton, and they were in Edmonton Mall for like 4 days.
Yeah,
and she was like, I really wanted to get that leash. Like, that was like the absolute worst experience of my life.
Oh my God.
It just depends on your demeanor. You know.
Yes. I was going to say, like, as a child, I never once felt like running because, my parents didn't need to use the belt. There was definitely the look. You just knew. Your mom had you so well programmed that the fear of whatever was going to happen if you stepped. Like, once you step past this invisible perimeter, you know how these kids, these dogs have those shock leashes?
Yeah.
Your mom had the look leash where, your mom is just like, you can test it and you can step away and she's smiling, 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 cut eye. And you're like, and you step back and you're like, okay, that's the limit. That's the limit of the leash, the look limit. I can't go past that perimeter or mom's going to give you the cut eye. And I know what that means.
I remember I saw this really funny picture of like Kermit the Frog with his nephew Robin. So, you know, like Robin was more stout and he was like this. Yeah. He was always like this. His shoulders were always kind of up in his neck kind of thing. And so someone wrote a clip and it was like black people when they're a kid and their mom is like telling them to shut the hell up. without saying anything, just pinching their shoulder and like,
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But I think honest, like if you have kids, you kind of know at a certain age, okay, what kind of kid this is, like what they're.
Yeah.
You don't know their full personality, but you know what? Okay, if I brought him to the store, how they acting?
Yeah.
Are they like, I can't handle this? Nope. Are they just chilling? They're chilling. They just observing, and they're cool.
They see their favorite juice. They just run. You're like, no, I'm not bringing you. If I bring you to Comic-Con and you see your favorite action figure. As a cosplayer, as your favorite character, you're just gonna take the fuck off. No, I'm not doing that. Yeah,
no. I think some like I would assume that you can kind of figure out your kid's demeanor at a certain point because you know you take them here, you take them there, you don't put them on a plane yet, but like you know you bring them places and see how they handle everybody, and then eventually, okay, we could bring them out to bigger things. But yeah I don't
50 Cent though.
I don't know, man. What about the other argument you were making before about, you know, the Bible and all that stuff?
What do you mean?
Kids can handle 50 Cent.
I was saying that you shouldn't pivot your art for children. That's what was my argument.
It's not art. I mean, so the before thing is not art. It's like executives making money to chase the money, man. Chasing the dollar bill.
Oh, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. That
it's not Tim Burton's character. It's DC / Warner Brothers character.
And that's why the writers and the actors are on strike because you can own the IP. But guess what? If no one's going to write the movie or direct the movie or act in it, you don't have a fucking movie. So you can own all the IPs in the world. You're not going to make a lot of merchandising if no one wants to see anything on the screen because none of the actors are there.
Unless you re-release old shit.
But keep re-releasing the old shit. We're not all going to keep buying it. Also, you keep pulling shit. You didn't give us the Batgirl movie we were supposed to get. So I already don't trust Warner Brothers.
Trust Warner Brothers.
Then you have Gal Gadot running around being like, yeah, I'm doing Wonder Woman 3. Bitch, we don't want Wonder Woman 3. Mm. Stop trying to sell me Wonder Woman 3. Facts. James, Peter, shut it down.
Shut it down.
But like, there is one good thing about it.
No.
Yeah. No, there isn't. There's no possible way they can make it worse.
Yes. Wow.
Like when you're starting at negative rock bottom,
Why did you really want to challenge them?
Like they might get so low, but at one point, like you know, you
do you want a Booster Gold movie? Because you're just about to get one.
Back up, right? Like that's how it goes.
I actually want Booster Gold.
You just conjured up a Booster Gold, and who's that animal man who wears a turp thing around his waist? You're about animal to get man? Him. Yeah. You're about to get an animal man.
Movie. Actually has a Shush, really Brian. Cool
Stop
story.
It, Brian. Stop it. I was going to say, there's a lot. You're the one. Like you're animal the, man, this is the same like, nigga that read like, Mr. Miracle. You and three other
Swamp
people.
Thing in the dark Mr. Miracle the rock, would
be
like,
a fantastic yeah, character sorry. For. Yo, you're naming fire characters for movie franchises.
Yeah.
If you can do Iron Man, which again, I will always preface Iron Man as this man was an alcoholic, warmongering. weapon salesman, and they turned him into a fan favorite. If you could do that with Iron Man, Tony Stark, I would love to see what you can do with Mr. Miracle, a suicidal young man who's been tortured by the life he's led. Give it to me. I will watch it. Yeah. I'd watch that before I watch Wonder Woman 3.
Recoiled five of its fingers.
Terrible. Yes, yes.
Sorry, four of its fingers.
Four of its fingers. There's only one left. However
many.
Let's go. Monkey's Club. I'm down. Give me it, honestly, yes. Over one. On, but I'll ask you this, guys. Skinny, yeah, yeah. Real talk.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want either Animal Man, Miracle Man, yes, over Miracle. Wonder Woman 3?
You know me in DC. I want them to stop in general. But, sure, you know, but, sure. Give me saying. Mr. Miracle.
That's fine. All I'm saying.
I'll take Mr.
You said
Miracle.
Booster Gold. I'm sorry. I take Booster
Gold. Nah, Booster Gold's a dickhead. I don't actually like Booster Gold. It's just, I just said that because of the whole Blue Beetle thing. But I think Booster Gold. I think the idea of like some 2-bit janitor from the future coming back in the past and trying to be a superhero is like really ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
He's like, I want to be a superhero. I'm a loser here.
Skinny. Yeah. Check this out though. You do Blue Beetle right now with Jaime.
Yeah.
Then you give us the Booster Gold movie where he saves Ted Kord right before the death. They time travel, have their adventures. He drops him off when he dies, and that goes right back to the beginning of the Blue Beetle with Jaime.
That'd be fucked up.
How are you going to drop the man's off when he dies? Ryan.
Oh, yeah, that's dude.
The story. That's
Brian. How are you going to drop man's off?
Pick and up the microphone and drop it, Brian.
If he doesn't die, the whole world explodes or some nonsense like
that. Yeah, Lucy's going to go back and be like, hey, man, like, you know, I want to give you your last hurrah before something happens. What do you mean? Bruce, hey, Bruce, you never told me what's going to happen. Yeah.
No, I think he knows. Doesn't Ted know? Like, isn't Ted the one who's always like, you have to take me back? I always understood Ted's the one that tells Booster.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Booster, you never told me why we went on this adventure. What are you bringing me back to?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you gonna die.
You gonna die. Like, what? Fuck that.
Oh, Mark P. wrote, this is pretty funny. You're going to end up with a Kite Man movie.
Oh, my God.
No. Shame on you, Mark. That's the line I do not condone.
Hey, Kite Man was a fantastic character in Harley.
Man, no.
Kite Man versus Firefly versus Calendar Man.
I am not watching that. That is a stupid.
Calendar Man
versus Egghead. Bring back Egghead. Justice for Egghead.
Calendar Man would be a hard movie because he could serial kill based on... That would be good, but it would have to be...
Halloween.
Yeah. But they'd have to that, you know what, listen, if they did that as a second movie for Mr.
Yes,
the
I
Batman,
was just gonna say let's I was go. Just gonna say Skinny, when you said that I was just like, I am not mad at Calendar Man as a serial killer in the second best,
because Calendar Man was fine, like Calendar Man was fun in Arkham City,
right?
Yeah. Going back to his dumb ass every month and being like, what you got for me now, Calendar Man? And then when he's finally gone, you're like, the fuck you go.
Yeah,
you have to like set your thing, your clock to a certain time on your PlayStation 3. It was like
because it was actually the quotes were actually associated with the date on your PS or your console.
Wild. Yeah,
but it's fun also because then you were able to do like there was a trophy that you could just like get in like 5 seconds because you just went to each month, re-asked them.
Yeah,
and then you're like, oh, done this.
Yeah, you could also just leave Batman to die at the end of the game, and I did that once by mistake. Catwoman's like, what do you want to do, save Batman or leave? So I decided to leave, and Catwoman's like, okay, and then roll credits. I'm like, wait, what? Yeah, thought I broke the game.
Nope.
Yes,
that's what I love about those guys. It's like I think when they in the first game when you had like the dream sequence and it was all weird and Joker was driving Batman to Arkham and everything,
yeah, that was stupid.
A lot of people thought their game broke.
Yeah, I for sure thought my game broke.
It says a letter J. I'm pressing my buttons. There's no letter J on my controller. What's going on? What's going to happen now? As you said, all that, guys. Standalone movie, King Tut.
Hey.
No.
If
it may be Maximus, whatever his name is.
I'll say this. If you can do for King Tut what Mattel has done here with Barbie.
Oh, wow. Segi.
You might have some very interesting storytelling. Because I never thought you could write a Barbie movie, one, the way they wrote it, two, to be this funny.
Wait, hold on. Before we get into all this, can we bring that to the episode where I said, and I quote, that Barbie movie is going to do some shit?
Yeah.
Literally I said that.
Yeah, we would have to find out. I didn't realize you said that. But
I said, this Barbie movie is going to friggin' turn shit up. I literally said that, because you're not going to put out a Barbie movie and it's going to be stupid. There's going to be some sort of real smart, like, make the people think type shit.
Yeah.
Number one movie in the country type shit.
Yeah.
Here it is.
$162 million opening. It was tracking to do 150. Oppenheimer, that was tracking to do 40 to 50 million.
How much waves did it catch off Barbie? Yeah, of course.
Doubled off of the Barbenheimer thing, bringing 82.5. 6% of the people that went to see Oppenheimer were people who couldn't get into Barbie.
That's the counter counter programming.
Wow.
Can you imagine? I go to the movie theater and I'm supposed to see a 2-hour movie. I can't get into it. So I say, fine, I'll see a 3-hour movie instead. No, sir. That is not how I plan my nights. You're not getting me into a 3-hour theater. That was crazy. 6% did it.
Y'all really went to go see Margot Robbie. It was good though.
It was pretty good.
I did really go see Margot Robbie.
Basically, that's what it was. You really went to go see Margot Robbie.
100%. One of the best scenes in the movie is something where they're saying, like, Barbie is saying, "I'm not beautiful," and then the narrator says, "Maybe don't cast Margot Robbie if you're gonna have have Barbie say something like this." And it's like, that's fantastic.
Yeah. They call each other out. They call a lot of societal things out, which is really cool.
They would because
it was great.
It was like, honestly, and one thing, because I don't know who you went with, Brian, but like, obviously I never played with Barbies, obviously.
Of course you did. What are you talking about?
I never did.
We all did.
My Ninja
Turtles beat the shit out of Ken.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I didn't have Barbies. Why would I have Barbies on my sister?
Did you not have any friends who had Barbies?
Not really. I had some friends that were girls.
And you didn't have play dates with girls.
Exactly.
Okay, I have a younger sister.
Exactly. So yeah, as someone who, like, I literally never really, like, you know, was I once at a friend's house who was a girl who made me play with Barbies once? Sure, whatever. But I don't remember any of that. But 14, I was with my partner and her friend, who obviously were huge Barbie enthusiasts. Yeah, and there were so many references they were getting that I was like, oh, this is movies making it so much better for you. But at the same time, as someone who wasn't actually a pretty funny movie in general. That's what I liked about it. But one thing I'll say, and I'll ask this to who is it just you who's seen the movie, Brian, or did you guys see the movie too?
I think I'm seeing it next week.
Okay.
Okay. But go ahead.
I'm just going to ask one thing. Did you find that Ken looked like evil the whole time? Like a disgruntled henchman?
Yeah.
The whole fucking movie. Like the whole, like there was not one moment that he didn't like, that he hated every moment of his life.
So I think definitely based on how the movie ends, I think what they were trying to show us with Ken is that Ken understood himself only through his relationship with Barbie, and because Barbie was so indifferent to Ken, he was just constantly like, not like, he wasn't annoyed, but he was longing. He was constantly in a mode of longing for her attention, for her approval, for just to like, and like the peacocking of Ken throughout the movie is so intense that you're just like, so it kind of gave me this sense of, and I know it's bad, but it gave me this sense of like a neckbeard who, is like really into a girl and is like dying for the girl to just notice them. And the girl is nice to them. The girl is nice, respectful, doesn't treat you poorly, doesn't make you feel bad about yourself. You know,
but also don't give a fuck about.
But just doesn't give a. You are a human being in the world with me. That is as far as I care about you. And that's and the neckbeard is like, and that's, it felt like Ken was that. Ken was just like,
or like OG simp.
OG Simp, that's a great rap name.
Can I? Yeah, that might have to be the title. So, Ken, the OG Simp.
OG Simp.
I'm pretty sure. Like
Ken, the OG
T-Pain Simp. Has like wrote that down. He's like, I'm gonna use that because he always says, "I buy you a drink." Is the OG Simp song that he wrote?
Buy you a drink. Let me just read this real quick off of June 16th, 2022. Watch that Barbie movie become the wildest social commentary movie of the flick of the century.
Facts.
drops mic. I mean,
Greta wrote and directed with her partner Noah a fantastic film. Kate McKinnon is great. I every time someone's asked me like, how did you like it? I'm like, Kate McKinnon is easily one of the best parts of the movie. Issa Rae pops on the screen. Issa Rae out there looking gorgeous, just stunning. Dude, and as toy collectors,
no,
can I just say, no, I'm not saying like I'm excited to collect. I'm saying as a toy collector, to see a toy in a Barbie Land world do the thing the toy did that you played with. So when the ambulance shows up and they park it on the beach and the back of the ambulance opens up into a medical bay,
they did that.
And that's it's like,
dude. I feel like when I watch this movie, all the toy commercials I used to watch as a kid, like after school and all that, the Barbie stuff, whatever. Okay. Yeah. You know, it's good.
All that unlocks in the back of your head. You'll see when you guys see a perfect example is like when they display clothing in you'll know what I'm talking about. It's a constant joke throughout the whole movie or whatever. But you're like, I was watching this, I'm like, for sure the girls in this theater think, oh my god, I got that one and I had that, like, you know, like, because everything is something that has been worn or made for Barbie, right?
We should hit up Jones and see this movie with that person. OG Barbie head that we both know who far, far away these days. But yeah, remember Jenna Jones who was like stupid into Barbie?
I didn't know that. I knew she was into like pink and stuff. I just didn't realize.
She collects like legacy Barbie figs. Actually, like that's the type of person, like the only person I knew collected Barbie like that, to the point where I want to be like, how do you feel about everybody jumping on your swag now?
Hit her up. I would love to talk to her about the movie itself, because
Barbie enthusiasts getting like bombarded by everybody now wearing pink and being like, Barbie, and you're like, no,
the metro when people were like seeing each other and they're like, hi Barbie. I thought
that was driving me nuts in the film.
In real life that happened to me on my
But in the actual film by the end I was like, I admit I'm happy that I'm not going to hear that. And when people were saying it as we were walking out of the theater, I'm like,
so all the Barbies are just Barbies but following different me kind to my of Barbies
car. Yeah.
So she's stereotypical Barbie, and then they got like Dr. Barbie.
Yeah,
that's so sad because there's no Stacy, like there's no like her other friends.
They're there actually.
They're all
Barbies. Stacy though.
No, but there were other people there. They actually don't say their names.
Yeah. There was one there. Well, that's why there is Aaron.
Issa Rae was for sure the black friend.
Alan. Yeah, Alan.
Sorry, Alan. Alan, not Aaron.
Yeah. I know there's Stacy or Tracy or something.
There's
like
Tracy.
That.
Yeah. Kiki had, Keela had a few of them. There's like the Spanish redhead. There was a black girl. Her sisters. You know.
But I remember when Ryan Gosling was talking about the movie, he said the script was really good. And he's like, I need to be a part of this. And he pointed out that Ken has no job, has no house, he has no car. Like, Barbie paying for everything.
Why is Ken such a scrub, though?
Like, what's
he's just an accessory. That's all he really is. Scrub. He's just an accessory.
And it's funny because I think when he was saying yes to the script, because he has daughters, right? I think he walked outside and he saw one of their Kens face down in the mud. And he sent that picture.
Oh, and there was a lemon slice next to eaten lemon slice next to him. Just like, he's trash.
Yeah, he's just trash. And he like sends her the picture. He's like, I will be your Ken.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was great. I thought the movie was funny. I thought the commentary was great. The only thing I didn't like was the ending. There's one thing specifically in the ending that I was just like, oh, I would not have done this, but sure.
Like the last joke, you mean?
Well, the last thing that happens to a specific character the last joke. But the thing that leads to the last joke, that whole ramp up to that, I didn't think that was great, but ultimately fantastic and fun film to watch. The commentary on the world we live in was so good. And shout out to Sylvester Stallone's cameo. Funny. Not. I mean, yes. I won't say anything.
Bring it.
I just, I knew the 80s were like that. But I forgot. Like, I was there. and I forgot how 80s the 80s were. Like in this movie, when you get the nod to the 80s, you're like, oh yeah, that's how 80s the 80s were. And that's fantastic.
Oh man, okay, I gotta watch this movie then.
So at some point.
It was a good movie.
As someone was up, I did do Barbenheimer. I didn't do them all in one, but I saw one on Friday and one on Tuesday. Oppenheimer, 3-hour movie, very good story. One of the most depressing things you'll ever see, because at the end of it, you're like, yeah, this was real. It's not a fiction. At the end, when you walk out of that theater, you're like, oh God, we did that shit. We did all of that. We are horrible, horrible beings.
Don't you say we, there's no we.
Oh, humanity. We don't get to say.
That guy did it.
We don't
get to say. That guy did that shit. I was not born.
Yeah.
Well, good sir. You couldn't spend $2 billion and it somehow not affect the economy of every country in the world. So
quite you, we all, still had nothing to do with it.
We all put money, and this is $2 billion in World War II. So you know how much $2 billion is back then?
You spent $1 trillion.
It's basically all the world's money.
It was, yes. Like when they said in the movie billion and they kept saying billion, I was like, did they make a mistake? Like, I'm like, who's saying billion this much?
Keep someone talking who's about. Never heard that word before. They're like, what do you mean a billion? What is this billion you speak of?
Yeah. How many is that? How many zeros?
I remember when I was the first time I started hearing people being billionaires as a, like, in maybe around 11, 12, 13. Was the first time I started hearing the word billionaire. And I was just like, what the fuck's a billionaire? Like, I was like, I couldn't even comprehend
that. So you didn't have the passes.
You didn't have the fat boy sing to you from square one on how much a billion is.
No, man, I divorced the fat boys once they started collaborating with Freddy Krueger. All right. Like, once I saw them do that shit, I'm like, get out of his house. I'm never listening to you again.
How are you going to have $1,000,000,000? Like, what?
What does that even mean?
Like, but they spent $2,000,000,000.
Like, that's listen, crazy. I would literally just buy shit with my app open and just watch and be like, what would this do? What would this do? What would this do? Like, I would just watch zeros. So it's like fluctuating. Like, that's it. What the fuck? Is it going to go down now? Is it 1,999,999? No, no. Oh, look, 1 billion again. Shit.
So good. But yeah. Yeah, I would say if you have the chance, go check it out. It's Oppenheimer. It is long, so prepare yourselves for a long film.
Bring snacks.
Yeah, bring snacks. But ultimately, very interesting. Good acting.
Oh, man. Wow.
Secret Invasion. Speaking of wars.
Yeah, listen. Can we talk about that final episode that I kind of liked better than all the other stuff?
You know, dude, I was so pissed that they did all the good stuff in the last
episode. Come with the good energy of this in like listen,
you're saying there was good stuff.
I've never seen a man get his okay, put it this way. Secret Invasion is the perfect way to answer a smart-ass bad guy. What about this? Hole through your chest. That's it. That's all you got to do. Someone talks shit to you in MCU, you just bore a hole through their chest, and that's it. All these guys are just like, no, I'm going to let you down easy. No, I'm not going to kill you, villain of the week. See our girl Gaia? She was just like, nah, like, we're doing this. That's how I reviewed the show. It was good.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't good. No.
Well, that episode was good.
This episode was good.
Parts of the series
of Old Man Fury, thank you very much. I didn't need this at all.
The whole Old Man Fury thing and being tired.
Like, I'm sorry. That was annoying. And one thing, this is like a pet peeve of it, that take off that stupid toque.
Take off that silly ass hat. Like,
and then he takes it off to put on that beige one that baits you out. Sorry, that burgundy one that baits you out no matter where you're standing.
Take off that silly ass hat. That's a title. That's a title. Yes. That's
Dave, that's the man is old. He needs to keep his
youth. And what was my first complaint? I don't need old man.
Bro, as a baldy, I understand the truth. I understand the truth as a bald person.
Dude, when he made his transformation, and I was like, sick, you finally took it off and puts on that other fucking... I was so busted.
What transformation was he going to make? Like, he's just...
And shave, motherfucker. Like, what the hell? Like, you do that bathing?
he did shave.
He doesn't have a home, bro. His home got shot up. His scroll wife is not.
He has like 5,000. He has at least 20 properties. Don't give me that.
None of them. He has mad graveyards.
I can't go to a fucking Unipri.
Unipri. Nick Fury going to Unipri.
All of his friends have been shot. That's a pharmacy in Canada.
He can't really do that. Oh my God. What? Something just came up at a 7-Eleven. Who is it? Dear God, it's Nick Fury.
I mean, so for those of you,
they only had handguns this entire show. That's what I thought was funny. It's like you're gonna do something with a PP-47.
That was another thing. Like, what is this fucking Men in Black? Like, here's your silent cricket shit or whatever the fuck.
Because you can kill scrolls with bullets. That's why
they really obviously wrote this thinking, oh, we need something to bridge between whatever we wrote, like the last story and the new Captain America film.
Yeah, but they also got cocky. They got cocky because they're like, hey, remember when we took Civil War that it wasn't Civil War, but it was? Ha-ha!
Yeah.
Let's do that secret. No.
Yeah.
You can't get that. No.
They really did.
And even, what's their names, both injecting and getting like everyone's powers. I'm like, that's not a good thing. That doesn't sound like long-term thinking.
Also, Gaia,
she can turn evil. Graphic
fighting.
Yes, she's going to be the Scroll Queen. Yes, she will turn evil. Yes.
But the thing that bothered me about it was, and I agree with Dave, you guys show us Gravik, who has Extremis in his blood, and she punches a hole, but then walks away. Girl, the same way you got shot and left for dead and got up, why would you?
Because it was melt a bigger him. Hole. You see, there's sizable hole through the heart where it's recovery, and then there's your entire friggin' abdomen gone, including your heart.
I'm not risking. I would not risk it if I know I have been murdered. I've been murdered and gotten up, and you then turn around and kill the man who has.
I would have taken his head on my mantle, bro.
Exactly.
Like, just in case. If your dead ass body starts walking through because you took someone's power, and that I'm going to see you and kill you again and chop you up.
With healing, I just feel like a certain major organ has to still remain in order for you to pump the blood to your brain to think about healing yourself. So if she was to punch upward enough and all this is gone, that's your heart. You ain't got no. You're just kind of like in shock,
isn't it? But isn't it
shock? Is shock?
Isn't it the thing that Wolverine can come back from a drop of blood? Hasn't
Mobile
that been?
And no, Deadpool. No.
We're talking about Wolverine, and then we're talking about some makeshift Harvest Extremis bullshit that these guys need to make super small. You know what I'm saying? This is not perfected versus.
I get what you're saying, and I hope you're right, because if Gravik shows back up.
She hoped she was right, and he might show back up. But
I'm going to be mad if he shows up. I'm going to be mad if he shows up again.
Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah.
There is no point to this series.
If he comes back. Yeah. If he comes back.
But one thing I would like to say, face to Skinny, because he really wanted what's his name dead, or hoped that he was a fake person this whole time and dead, and he shows up at the end. The guy from Wakanda.
Fuck yeah.
The white agent is alive. He's because he was so adamant the first time we watched it. He's so happy. He's been evil this whole time. You know, he's never going to come back.
Evil this whole time because you don't know if we ever met the real Everett.
When I saw that, I started laughing my ass off. And my partner's like, what's going on? I'm like, for the
Everett podcast. Everett Ross being alive, cool, but that means that what? Maria Hill's the only one that really died? Yes. That's disrespectful. That is disrespectful.
That is a disrespect. She probably wanted out. She's like, look, guys, like,
you're not using me. I can't keep this up.
I'm going to go and make How I Met Your Mother again. Like, you know,
How I Met Your Father. She had a cameo, but yeah.
Dumbass. Anyways, so I'm going to go and do this.
Oh, that's showing good. It's not How I Met Your Mother.
Maybe she thought, I don't know, Maria Hill would be a bigger role, and then she kind of got fed. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What is it? Brave New World Order? No, New World Order was the old title.
Yeah.
And now it's Brave New World.
New World or something.
Really?
Yeah, they changed it from New World. Captain America New World Order was the old title.
Yeah, I guess they don't want to get the uppities who are ready to. Yeah, we don't want those rights to get all. Yeah.
But, okay, sorry, Dave, go ahead before I ask my question.
No, where do you go from here? Like with this stuff.
Okay,
like,
perfect. I was just gonna say Secret Invasion has come to an end. We now have Gaia, who is as strong as Captain Marvel.
There's still a million Skrulls impersonating people on Earth. And they showed that to you.
the president of the United States has said open season on Skrulls.
Yeah. Which I find stupid. I find that is a really
it's not a bad thing.
I wouldn't want to trap myself in having to write around that in because Skrulls are everywhere. That's a hard thing to say. And even at that, even in storytelling, Nick Fury's telling the president there are good ones, there are bad ones.
Yeah.
There are so now you're just killing them all. That doesn't
Mans is gonna be president for much longer, though. You understand?
So, yeah, because it's gonna be
because of his fuck up and because of Rhodey not being Rhodey, they're gonna be like, "You didn't know that this guy, your right hand man, was a Skrull this entire time. You are out of here." And then here comes Harrison Ford / Homeboy Thunderbolt Ross.
Jaws, what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, so the president of the United States is basically Blade. It's open season and all suckheads.
that's the thing. Like he says that he does open season, but then my question is. Who gave humanity the list of who was replaced? Because they start showing up and shooting Skrulls like they know who's who. Who did that?
That's the commentary, though. They say people are killing innocents.
Yes, because they killed the British Prime Minister because they think she's a Skrull.
Yeah, that was nuts.
I know Britain doesn't like guns. Yeah. Like, Brits are like, yo, guns are like, America's crazy. But I gotta say, in a world where you have no security and Mans walks up and just shoots the prime minister on live TV, y'all need better security.
Unloaded a clip and like flex.
You're right.
He did fancy shots.
If you don't want to use guns, cool. But y'all need shields.
The security guard like, being like, "I'm gonna phone it in today. I'm not gonna jump in front of the board.
Jesus,
I'm not that down."
Mans gave her two in the chest and one in the head, just for thought.
God,
for
damn.
And like he wasn't taken down.
No,
really,
he walked away.
No,
I don't think anybody like that prime minister. If that was that's the reaction. Yeah, no one like that prime minister.
Okay, but so back to Gaia. Gaia now. Potentially the strongest, because if they say Captain Marvel is the strongest in the MCU and Gaia has Captain Marvel's powers, Hulk's powers, Abomination's powers,
Ebony
Maw's powers,
all the Avengers.
She has all the powers of all the lieutenants from Thanos and Thanos. She has all the powers from she essentially has anyone whose power is based in their DNA. So Drax,
Captain America, Captain useless because 8 of those people that they took are like strong people.
Yeah, Captain America was kind of weird. But
once you have Captain Marvel, stop there.
Yeah, right.
Only what are you doing? You're getting greedy at that point. Oh, but now that Captain America too.
And then you have Olivia Colman's character, who is essentially going to be the Nick Fury of Britain.
Yeah.
Who do you think ends up on the British team? Because that's what we're hinting at now. Black Knight.
What's his name? Captain Britain. They're probably going to introduce at one point. If they're going to do that, they're going to introduce Captain Britain that way.
Okay.
If she has an official team, it would have to be Captain Britain who's on that team.
Team is going to counter what the
Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see this.
Are
the
Thunderbolts going to be the Dark Avengers? Are the Dark Avengers going like, to have them? The Thunderbolts are going to take them?
I feel like the Thunderbolts are going to be leaning in the Dark Avengers story because the Dark Avengers story is the story right after Secret Invasion, and if they're following the same order, that is what happens next. Norman Osborn kills the Queen, takes over, turns Shield into Hammer, and then he starts his Dark Avengers team. In this case, you're going to have Valentina is going to be working with I don't know who, but is going to start a Thunderbolt team.
And that's how they could bring back S.H.I.E.L.D. because like in this universe, if that were to happen, right?
Wait, is S.H.I.E.L.D. still?
S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been dead. Yeah,
S.H.I.E.L.D.'s still gone, right? So that's a way to like bring it back without having to like backtrack on your shit.
But then at that point, then you bring it back with what Steve Rogers leading because Fury ain't doing shit.
Well, no, you start it with Norman Osborn, who's like, "We got rid of Shield. Shield was a bad idea. Here is Hammer." And then
I think it's gonna be Valentina. It's not gonna be Norman Osborn. Norman.
Oh, you don't think so?
No, they ain't gonna bring Norman.
They're not gonna bring Norman Osborn.
Wasn't he
Spider-Man.
The one who made it though, or was it her
in the comic book?
In the comics, yeah, but we don't have a Norman Osborn in 616. And I'm sorry, but my man's too old. Like I like him, but Willem Dafoe, chill out.
He can't no more.
Yeah, no more.
I love Willem
Dafoe. I'm surprised that one, that run he did was that good. You can leave it there.
Yes.
Leave it there. Yeah, you got the purple hoodie. Leave it there.
That was good. Leave on a high note. He definitely. Yeah.
Don't come back.
I don't know. I don't know, man.
I hear them talking about Spider-Man 4, and I'm just like, shut up. Just stop. Stop reaching for straws. Just leave it alone. You idiots.
They're going to do it, though.
I know, of course they're going to do it, but just don't. Just please don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, only if they could tell a good story, but like, how are you going to tell a good story? Like, you'd have to do an official Sinister Six, or you'd have to do like a pretty deep. Mind you, though, that could be a good idea to do a serious, deep story with Spider-Man against like a villain, but do it like, example, it'd have to be like a deep with either the Lizard, Venom,
bring back.
I wouldn't do Dr. Octopus in the sense like what's his name did a perfect job but wanted to do it. No, yeah. I'm talking about like doing his universe is like the next Spider-Man movie would have to, if they were going to continue to do many, like you may as well do individual movies about the next Sinister Six that you're really going to do, build a real foundation of him versus these characters and then make a Sinister Six.
I don't think we need a Sinister Six. I got it in No Way Home. Not even Sinister Six, but I got the closest thing to like that.
I was going to say, you gave me Vulture, you gave me a team using the Tinkerer, you had Shocker, like Prowler was not actually in costume, but you had Aaron, the uncle there. Like you gave me enough of them attempting to make the Sinister Six, and then you didn't give us the Sinister Six. You let Vulture get captured. Yeah. At that point, I'm like, unless the next movie was going to be them trying to create the Sinister Six or continue to go after him, I don't want it a movie later. Like I don't want to skip a movie and then come back to that. Sorry, Joss, what's up?
Didn't Into the Spider-Verse kind of do the Sinister Six?
Yeah, kind of do.
Yes, the Into the Spider-Verse is the only one to have done this stuff well so far.
Yep.
They just snuck into Sinister Six and didn't say nothing, but I mean, like, you got Tombstone, you got Kingpin, you got Doc Ock, you got Scorpion, you got Prowler.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
I'm missing one.
Yeah.
Who's that one that I'm missing? What's the other villain that's there that didn't
in that movie?
Yeah, in that movie, just in that movie.
Lizard was in it. No,
Lizard wasn't in that one.
No.
They got five. Fighting them.
Then you started the new movie with Vulture.
Yeah.
So I mean,
MCU did Vulture into Mysterio, Mysterio into Doc Ock, Lizard, Green Goblin, Electro. Like they got a lot of the originals. Missing Kraven, you're one short.
I mean, Sandman. You essentially did the Sinister Six in the last movie. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Mysterio, Vulture, Mysterio. Green Goblin wasn't in the, but then Doc Ock, Electro, Sandman, Lizard. You're missing Kraven.
Yeah, they did it already. Yeah. Dave. Yeah, he's right.
Because but I was saying up, like I was talking about this universe.
You ain't gonna fight six people in a motion film.
But if anything,
this universe. That's the thing. That's the problem with it.
But if anything, we already know. Correction: if they do four, I have a sneaking suspicion we all know we should know what it is. It's gonna be him getting the Venom costume and them doing Venom, because that was the last thing that happened, right? So like, if you're gonna do it. If you're gonna do it, but you better like.
But I'm talking Spider-Man 4 with Toby that they're teasing.
Oh, that's what they're teasing now.
They're talking about Toby. They're not talking. They're not even talking about Tom Holland.
I want that even less.
I don't even know. I don't need old. I don't need old men.
Why do I need Sony? Sony wants to make money without having to deal with Disney.
Not you.
But go with Garfield then. Why would you go back to Toby? At least go Garfield.
Yeah, because Garfield, you could do more.
Yeah,
I don't know, because maybe I don't know.
Hey, Sony.
Toby broke his back. He can't do much.
Yeah, that's true too, right? He does have actual back problems, right?
Toby Maguire, he broke his back when he was making Seabiscuit.
Oh, really? Shoot. Yeah, that's why he kind of chilled out.
Mm-hmm.
And he also established that his Spider-Man has back problems in the last movie. So it's like, don't do the old Spider-Man. Guys, stop.
Leave it alone.
Stop, Sony. Stop. Keep making the animated films. First of all, Just go back to the AMPTP, get your homies to sign the damn papers, then get back to making my Beyond the Spider-Verse. Because the fact that all that shit, Sony pushed their entire docket, pisses me off. Because we're not getting
what they gotta do.
The I feel like can we touch the news then?
Touch
I already want because studios seek to reopen talks with the WGA on this Friday. So this Friday is gonna be August 4th. Friday, August 4th, the WGA and the AMPTP are going to sit down and they're going to start talking again. These are the writers and the studios are going to start trying to work out a deal again to get things moving. The SAG-AFTRA, the actors, their representative has said he has not heard anything from the AMPTP. And he's also saying like, yo, if you're going to holler at them, holler at us. Let's get this done together. Like, let's try and do it ASAP as opposed to reaching out to them. Because it's still going to be pitting people against people, right? Like, if they give the writers a certain amount of stuff and a certain amount of money goes out, then when it comes to negotiating for the actors, it's going to be like, eh, sorry, we signed this deal. We don't have it anymore in the budget. Like, y'all cost too much. It's like, no, just work it out so that everyone gets a little piece.
I saw that thing about all the heads gets losing like 10% of their salaries. Can't they just do that?
All the heads of the studios?
Yeah, man. Just government. Just 10%. I mean, it'd just be like snip, snip, snip here.
Dude. Honestly, I've been
that's not sharing
enough where the
that's
government or somebody can't just go. You know what I'm saying?
You can't tax. You can't tax
bajillions of dollars.
Don't make. I mean, so don't make so much money.
Yeah. Also, when some people are just like, "Oh, part of their deals doesn't is not just salary. It's like stock bonuses options. And stock options." Guess what, motherfucker? We're talking about the cash.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not talking about that cash. I'm not saying you can keep your stock.
Yeah, just, let them
you see, round down that quadrillion you have and just give me the change, dog. What are you talking
Thank
about?
Thank you. Like, everyone who keeps going, like, well, guys, some of it's stock options. Fine, but I'm talking about the cash.
If you make $1,010,000, cut the $10,000, dog. Or make $900,000.
It's not that hard.
Just do
something. They need to calm down.
And it's not for like ever, just for 1 year.
One year.
Just try it. Just
you
try and
keep
see.
Your boat. You get to keep your boat, Bob. Just
one year,
and you're fine.
I thought the boat was already paid for.
It probably is, like but you know, Studio Bob needs one
for the staff of the boat.
Keep it docked in the marina. Not to mention, listen, these niggas don't pay for nothing anyways. These are the same people why I can't go see the damn concert because they're on the guest list. So yo, cut the blast the money, man.
Yeah.
Sheesh, cut the check. Yeah.
Y'all need to stop giving free things to the rich and famous.
Why are we doing that? Yeah, yes. That doesn't make any sense. Why?
I never got that.
I mean, we can go back as far as the 80s. Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous was like this like aspiring thing. Like, look at all this wealth.
MTV Cribs before MTV Cribs. But you didn't see the people that owned the place. They just showed you the place. Right. That was it.
But that's the thing. If you're showing me this house and you're just like, this person has this Cartier, blah, 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 then everyone's just like, oh, I want that. So Cartier is like, oh, let's give these homies these free things so that when people see, it's essentially advertisement when you give it to the rich.
I get it. But
it's still a nasty play because they can afford it. Agreed.
Bro, you could give one to me and I will stunt on my friends and they will buy one. What are you talking
Somebody
about?
Somebody I actually know is there.
Yeah.
Hasbro sent me that Hulk right there. And they told me, keep your mouth shut and don't say nothing. You know what I did? I kept my mouth shut. And guess who bought a bunch of them Hulks? Niggas. So why the fuck? Why the fuck? Don't we just give... Oh my god.
God. <Kevin? laughs> Oh shit. That's so good.
Trudeau.
Speaking of Trudeau.
Oh yeah. Crazy. Across the Spider-Verse officially dropping on Tuesday, August 8th on digital. So if you guys are digital heads and you like to have digital movies, you can get that on the 8th.
So that means Amazon I get to watch it on the area.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm not sure, but I know maybe. The physical copies go out September 5th, so like less than a month later, you'll be able to get it. Nintendo's next gen console is slowly coming into focus.
Why?
They're saying 2025,
but they keep saying this over and over again. I remember before they're like, "Oh, the Switch 2 is coming," and then it's like, "Switch 2 is coming."
How about no? Because just make the Switch better.
Yeah, the Switch is fine as it is, to be honest.
It's getting long in the tooth. So I mean, like,
it's getting older.
Like, I mean, yes, Switch is fine, but like, yeah. I mean, a lot of the newer games are really pushing the limits of that game. Yeah. Like when you're playing, you know, your beloved new game right now, Dave. Yeah,
Breath of the Wild. Tears of the Kingdom. Yeah.
Like, there's parts of it where it's like the game cannot handle all the craziness that's going on.
No one told Nintendo to make their new system with low ass specs. Like, how are you giving me a compact Presario computer? when we got Dells out here with quantum chips and stuff, it doesn't make any sense that you're gonna send me
Presario.
Hey, if you know, you know. God. That was my first computer, so I can say that.
Everyone is catching strays. Hasbro wants old Transformer game to return, but Activision lost them.
They lost the file.
But actually, that's not true. So, like, so there's an update on that, and then someone from Activision is like, we didn't lose nothing. We have the code. What the hell are you saying? Like, literally put them on blast on Twitter. Like, no, we have the code.
That's why I give it to you.
Uh-huh. So yeah.
It's just a back and forth because, you know, Hasbro has the rights to Transformers. Activision has to pay for the rights for Transformers.
Right.
Then if they bring it back, are they going to redo the game? Are they going to reopen the old servers? They got to bring back the old servers. So it's all this other stuff that has to kind of be talked about. But yeah. I think kind of Hasbro just kind of shoved it over to Activision's court just to be like, oh, we want to bring it back for the fans. You know, we have all these toys coming out that are reflective of that game that came out a few years ago for the last two gens ago. And yeah, it's really on our mind. But, you know, it's Activision has it. And, you know, when companies eat other companies, they lose things in the shuffle, and Activision's like, we didn't lose nothing.
Hasbro's saving face, man, because they're out here
claim us. That's
Hasbro's
fantastic.
Out here canceling lines and putting them on hiatus and not telling people officially. Oh, it's kind of fun. They just pause Power Rangers, like they're just like, nah.
Oh really?
Yeah. The whole Lightning Collection line, they just put on pause, and after this season that's supposed to be, well, the season that was supposed to be coming in September, there's no more Power Rangers.
Oh shit!
They have no plans of going back to Sentai and using Sentai footage. So after Cosmic Fury that's coming out, that is the last show that's going to use Sentai footage after like 30 years.
Whoa!
And then they switched factories for the Lightning Collection. So they decided, yeah, unofficially, we're just going to put this whole collection on hiatus. I've been making a killing because people are like all the figs is dried up. Amazon, you can't find old figs. They're just gone.
Whoa, wow, yeah, interesting. So that's crazy.
It's Hasbro's out here struggling and not trying to tell people they're struggling.
I think the only last two I would want to get is a King Sphinx and a good what's his name? Goldar.
Find that King Sphinx and Goldar, because I'm telling you, they're not reissuing. Really? So if it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
And then lastly, we talked about him last week, or was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Where Stephen Amell at Comic-Con was just like, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but fuck, let's have some fun. And then this man went on TV on a panel at GalaxyCon and full on said, well, I'm paraphrasing, but fuck the strike. He said the strike is reductive. Striking is a reductive negotiation tool, and essentially pissed off everybody and their cousin. And then had to come correct and apologize, on begging knees, hand clasp, saying, please work with me in the future, all you writers and actors that I just insulted.
Oh, my goodness.
Wild
times. Don't care, man. He good. He made his arrow money.
He better hope those residuals are good enough, because he about to see that well dry up.
I mean, he's still getting paid off of Hung, so I think he's all right for a bit.
He was on Hung?
He was on Hung.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That was the first shit he really did. Check out Hung.
Hung is on HBO, right?
He was the annoying replacement pimp, what's it called? What's it called? Gigolo. He was a replacement Gigolo. When Redhead didn't get her way with Dude, the Punisher, she got Green Arrow. And he was like, hey, I'm Green Arrow.
Hilarious. Oh. Hey, man, I hope those HBO residuals are good then, because I don't see how you know the writers and the actors are on strike.
You literally know them.
You know them. And you're going to go on a panel and someone asks you about it and you're going to say, yes, you are allowed to have your opinion. Because some people were saying like, hey, he's allowed to have his opinion. Yeah, but you can imagine people are going to be pissed off with it.
They're going to have an opinion about your last three shows, bro.
Yeah. Like heels. I don't expect to have a heel season 3. That's all.
There's a season two. Okay, so
yeah, season two. Season two.
We just talked about it.
Yeah, but the writers for season three, mm-mm, I don't see y'all coming back if you're just like, yeah, we were on strike because we need to get paid, and you're out here telling people you don't believe in the strike.
Is his wife still like inexplicably cute and good looking in that show? Even though it's like a nowhere town and you just have to be paired up with
the but you know how all those shows are. All those shows are just like, hey, the girls in the Midwest are the prettiest ones you
do. For once, I'd like them to be realistic. And I'd like to see like one of them with like a Honey Boo Boo mom. Looking, like,
shit.
Like, make it. Let's be real. Let's be real. This is what they really look like in Arizona. Come on.
So is he going to be killed off like that girl from Grey's Anatomy after she won that Emmy and said, like, oh, my right?
Catherine Hagel?
Yeah.
She did it off.
Mad trash about that. The writers and writers are like, oh yeah,
yeah, and gone. And on that note,
elevator shaft.
We're also gone. We're gonna head out now, guys. We had a great one. Anything you guys want to tell the people before we sign out?
Check out Transformers Slag.
Child Vision on Sundays, and shouts to Toronto.
And that's it. We out. Peace, everybody.
Peace.